You're listening to The Christian Working Woman, and I'm Mary Lohman. I want to ask you, do you have some pockets of fear? Places where you find it very difficult to trust God? This year of 2020 has brought a blanket of fear over our country, hasn't it? Over the world, actually. And there are other areas of fear we struggle with, like fear of a person or certain people, or fear of the future. This coronavirus has certainly cast a fear of the future on many people. Lots of people struggle with fear of rejection. Fear has always been one of Satan's favorite flaming arrows to try to keep us paralyzed by fear. So today, we're going to talk about common pockets of fear. You might not see yourself as a fearful person, one who is controlled by fear, but without realizing it, you may be harboring pockets of fear, places where fear has dug a foothold in your life, and that fear in that pocket is causing you harm. Now, sometimes those pockets are small, sometimes they're not, but they are places in our lives where we find it very difficult to trust God, and therefore that fear controls us in that area. So I've once again asked my wonderful teammates here at The Christian Working Woman to join me for this discussion. So welcome, Alice Huntzinger.
Hello.
And Julie Bastide.
Hi.
Question number one for you two is this. Do you recognize any small or large pockets of fear in your own life, Julie?
Well, I think for me, the fear of making a fool of myself is a fear I deal with. And it's the fear of looking foolish, and also I think it can hold me back from doing something that I should be doing instead I'm so fearful I don't do it because I don't want to look foolish.
Right. And Alice?
Oh, my. I have a few fears. One that comes to mind, I think, right away is I have a fear over, like, what would happen financially. If my husband gets sick and he can't work, I just think, will we be able to continue to keep up with our obligations?
Yep.
I guess so many of my fears are about finances.
Well, that's not uncommon. You know, it's interesting that when you look in Scripture, you can find some stunning examples of people who had pockets of fear. And I'm talking about some great giants of old. For example, Abraham had a pocket of fear about being killed. Now, here's a man described in Hebrews 11 as a man of great faith. God called him from a prosperous and comfortable life and said, "Go to a land I will show you." And Abraham simply obeyed. He just packed up and left to go to a place he had never been to before. He didn't even know what place it was. And to leave his family and familiar surroundings behind, even though he didn't know where he was going, he went. That took great faith.
And also, he was able to believe that God could give him a son, even though his wife was barren and they were both well past the age of childbearing. That took tremendous faith.
That's true, Julie.
Yeah, but what really marks Abraham as a great man of faith was his willingness to offer this miracle son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And he was about to sacrifice him.
Right. It's just almost unbelievable. But because Abraham believed that God could raise the dead if necessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every time I read that story, I just shake my head at this man of incredible faith. Yet, when he was traveling in Egypt, by the way, he shouldn't have been there, on his journey to the promised land, he revealed a pocket of fear. Do you remember the story, Julie?
I do. Abraham was afraid the Egyptians would kill him because of his beautiful wife, Sarah, whom they would want for their own. So in fear, he told Sarah to tell less than the truth, to say that she was his sister, in order to keep them from killing him.
Exactly. You'll find that story in Genesis 12. And as I read it recently, I thought, Abraham, what in the world was your problem? You believed God in all those huge, gigantic areas, but you didn't believe that God could keep you and Sarah alive in Egypt? Where was your great faith? Well, Abraham had a pocket of fear, and it led him into sin.
Don't you think that we all have these pockets of fear? I mean, we can have great faith in some areas at certain times, and then our faith falls apart the next day or the next hour. Or even when we turn the next corner.
That's true. Paul wrote to the Romans, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." That's Romans 8:15. So whatever you and I are fearful about, it is not coming from the Lord. Of course, we have an enemy who loves to scare us to death about anything he can, because when we are fearful, it just means we're not trusting God. So let's think about this. What do you think are some of the most common pockets of fear, Julie?
Well, I think Alice touched on it earlier. I think maybe it's money. So often we're fearful of not having enough. And lately, with all the jobs that were lost because of COVID, that's really been accentuated. People are fearful of losing their job, losing their house, going bankrupt, just not being able to afford what they need or want.
That's so true. You are right. Money is at the root of a lot of our fears. Frankly, this has been a pocket of fear for me. For no really good reason, I used to imagine that I could lose my house, all my assets, my retirement money, everything. I would allow my mind to take me into this cycle of fear. It's an area God had to work on with me, and He still does at times. But here's what I learned to do with this pocket of fear when it started to possess me. I would say to myself, okay, suppose all those things happen. Go ahead, imagine the worst. No money, no income, no house, no savings, no retirement. Would you survive? I think there's somebody in your family or some close friend that would take you in until you could get on your feet again. It would not destroy you. Then I would make myself, and note that it usually is an act of my will, not my emotions, I would make myself claim a promise from the Bible. Let's mention a couple of good scripture passages to combat this pocket of fear, money. Alice, think of one.
Yeah, well, I've gone to this particular passage many times. It's Matthew 6, 25 through 26. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?
Huh. That's one of the best, isn't it?
Right. Yes. And Philippians 4:19 is another great one. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
So true, Julie. By exposing that pocket of fear to the light, just by bringing it out in the open and forcing yourself to face the fear, it kind of loses its teeth, you know? It just can't bite you any longer because you've accepted that the worst may... It might happen, and if it does, God's word is still steadfast, and He will deliver you. Think about the fear of getting the coronavirus. Certainly no one wants to get sick, but you know, if the worst happens and you were to catch it, God is still sovereign over that virus. And the good news is, most people recover pretty quickly. But living under the constant fear of catching a virus is living in bondage. So a good first principle in dealing with pockets of fear is to bring them out in the open and talk to God about them. Then find a verse of scripture to counteract that particular pocket of fear. So here's another fear that's really common, the fear of being alone. I think that's a hard one, don't you, Julie?
I do. And this fear really can take you down the wrong path. Some people are so possessed by this pocket of fear that they've come to believe that nothing is worse than being alone.
Well, I know because I used to be that way. I was fearful of being single forever. And I'm sure there are lots of other singles listening to me now who share that pocket of fear.
Yeah, and that fear causes them to stay in bad relationships far too long, to allow relationships to develop which were obviously wrong from the beginning, and to put up with inconsiderate and harmful treatment from another person just to avoid being alone.
Right.
Yeah. How about the abused spouse? That's another example of this fear. You know, often spouses will endure all kinds of abuse just to avoid being alone.
Oh, boy, is that true. You know, if anyone is struggling with that pocket of fear of being alone, and you allow that fear to continue, it will grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and it will start to control your life. And obviously, that's going to just make you more and more miserable. So what I want to encourage you to do is bring that pocket of fear into the light. Think about it. What's so terrible about being by yourself?
Yeah, right. You can do what you want. You can spend your money the way you want. You can eat when you want, what you want, where you want.
That's right.
And being alone is highly preferable to being with someone who's not right for you.
That is so true, Julie. If that is your pocket of fear, I encourage you to get it out in the open and expose it to the light. Now, does that mean you cannot have a meaningful life? Of course not. This fear of being alone is an unreasonable fear, because if you reach out to others and start helping others, your life's going to be so full of people and love and meaningful relationships that you're going to covet some time alone. What are some scriptures to help combat that fear of being alone? Alice, can you think of any?
Well, Jesus promised he would never leave us or forsake us, right in Hebrews 13:5.
That's right.
Right. And Romans 8:38 and 39 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ. Those are two great promises from God to us when we're fearful of being alone.
Yes, the Word of God is our weapon against fear, and it has divine power to demolish strongholds. We need to use it. So I encourage you, if this is your pocket of fear, fight back with God's promises to you and defeat that pocket of fear of being alone. It's a monkey on your back, and you really don't need it, right? Can you think of another common pocket of fear, Alice?
Well, don't you think for some people being accepted and being liked and having the approval of others is more important to them than anything else? Mm. So that can easily lead to fear of rejection.
It's true.
You know, we all have a natural desire to be accepted by others, but if that desire is too strong, it can lead to the fear of being rejected.
That's true.
Right, and when we are fearful of being rejected, we then allow that person or a group of people who might reject us to have a lot of control over us. Like, for example, if I live in fear that you may reject me, then you have a great deal of leverage in my life. I'll do and say things to try to please you, to avoid upsetting you, and to get your approval.
That's so true, Julie. And you know, the fear of rejection looks pretty anemic when you bring it into the light and expose it. Ask yourself, why? Why is it so important for me to have the approval of this person or these people? Why am I allowing them to have this power over me? Probably the truthful answers to those questions will surprise you, and you'll see how foolish it is to live with that pocket of fear. And then there's the fear of failing. When failing is fearful to you, it keeps you from doing very much, because the road to success is filled with failures. Anything worth doing is worth doing wrong until you can get it right. So fear of failure will rob you of many achievements, or it will drive you to perfectionism and workaholism. It'll be a great help if you'll bring this fear into the open. Expose it. Ask yourself, so what will happen if I fail? If I try and it doesn't work out, will the world stop revolving? The sooner you expose that fear to the light, the sooner you can find victory over it through God's word and prayer. So here's the really important question for today. Why is it important for us to deal with these pockets of fear? Alice?
Because we know that fear never comes from God. We know it's from the evil one.
Right. Julie?
And any area of fear is an area where we're not trusting God, because faith and fear cannot coexist. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
We can say that when we have a pocket of fear, we know that God is very displeased, since it shows we don't have faith in that area. So what's your pocket of fear today? Bring it out in the open, confess it, find scripture to counteract it, and then focus on loving Jesus more perfectly in that area.
A lot of people take advantage of reviewing and sharing these devotionals because we make them available on our website. So if you'd like to review this devotional again or share it with some others who would benefit from it, you'll find it online at christianworkingwoman.org.
And actually, you'll find lots of resources there that can be helpful to you on our website, so we encourage you to take advantage of those. And remember, our program is also available in Spanish on our website, so let your Spanish-speaking friends know about this.
And Mary has made a new edition of Fran and Jesus Stories. It's called Fran and Jesus Still on the Job. If you love those stories, you'll want to get your copy today. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as our podcasts.
Thanks for listening today. I'm Julie Bastide.
I'm Alice Hunziker.
And I'm Mary Lohman, saying goodbye today for the Christian Working Woman.